Welcome back to TRP.
Good to have you back with me on the Rosner podcast. Today I'd like to read a short story written by myself called Calypso O'Connor. There was nothing pleasant about that November morning. Chill dank clouds hung ominously above Calypso O'Connor's head as he sat alone on a blue graffiti park bench, dressed in an ill-fitting suit. The grass beneath his feet, wet from the recent rains, smelled of earthy decay. Glancing down, he noticed how tiny orbs of water droplets formed on the uppers of his shiny black shoes. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a packet of cigarettes. Then he struck a match. Calypso was a gaunt-faced, brown-eyed 18-year-old boy. He had always been a bit of a loner. A bit outside the box, if you will. He never wore suits or ties, and he certainly did not wear polished black shoes. Nor did he normally wear his hair swept back. But for him, today was no ordinary day. It was his mother who had decided to name him Calypso. She had loved the syncopated Caribbean rhythms, so much so that she christened her only son after the music. For 18 years, he had been ridiculed by his schoolmates. He still hadn't come to terms with her choice, but only now had he finally forgiven her. Sucking on the cigarette, he inhaled deeply. With a rueful shake of his head, he exhaled the blue-grey smoke into the damp air and watched it dissipate before his tearful eyes. One moment it was there, then it was gone, just like she was. From the village, he could hear the church bells ring out, their solemn, timeless tones drifting across the river, calling to him. But he had already decided he would not go to the service to say a final goodbye. Why had she done it? Why didn't she simply run away? He gazed forlornly at the river, brown and swollen from the recent rains, its water drifting slowly by, meandering along its predestined course, inanimate, yet somehow more alive than he was. Could he have prevented it, he wondered. 3 days ago she was alive, a loving, breathing mother, stoically smiling through her inner pain. The church bells reverberated across the river before finally dying away. He sighed as he blessed himself. He loved his father, hated him too. He despised the man's stubbornness, his intransient manner, his bullying ways and volatile nature. As a child, he had been terrified of him, of the beatings he received, meted out for the slightest provocations. He had a kind streak too, a side he rarely showed, but when he did, there was chemistry akin to a brotherhood between them. He was 7 when he first saw his father cry. It was at his grandmother's funeral. He'd never seen a grown man cry, didn't know big strong men could cry. Though he was only a child, he wanted to hold him, to protect this giant of a man from the anguish he was feeling. Frustrated by his sense of haplessness, he couldn't hold back his own tears. He knew his father was probably crying now, suffering with guilt as they carried his mother's coffin from the church to the little graveyard on the hill, to rest her in the sodden earth. Stubbing his cigarette against the seat beams of the blue park bench, he stood up. Despite their arguments, he knew his mother loved his father. Morning, noon and night, she attended to his every need. But lately, he felt there had been a rift between the two of them, and though he wanted to intervene, he did not. Once more, rain began to fall. He could see circled telltale drops break the glassy surface of the water, sparsely at first, like little targets in a rifle range. Then the heavens opened, Raindrops bounced on the river in a million beaded ricochets. Lifting the collars of his suit jacket, he began to walk away. It had been raining the night he found her. Those once warm blue eyes of hers, stilled and glazed, bulged from her purple face, her neck snapped sideways, her body a human pendulum, spinning and twisting on a rope. Screaming for help, he tried to hold her, to take her weight, but nobody came. Rushing to the kitchen, he grabbed a knife and a chair. Stepping onto it, he cut her down, but lost his balance in the process. He would never forget the sickening sound of her skull smashing against the tiles as she tumbled, sack-like, to the floor, as he jumped down to cradle her in his arms. He could feel the dissipating warmth on her skin as he frantically grappled to untie the rope around her neck. As he hurried along, seeking shelter, his tears mingled with the rain. He hoped she was at peace now, spared from the euphoric highs and manic lows of her roller coaster life. He recalled as a child occasionally seeing his father hit her in a drunken rage and pin her to the kitchen wall, she crying and pleading with him while he, rigid with fear, watched from beneath the kitchen table as his father beat her black and blue. On such occasions, it was he who would be sent to the shops, while she sat behind glazed curtains, hiding her battered face from an uncaring world. Incessant now, the rain teemed down, and he could feel the chill of a wet shirt clinging to his skin, and he began to shiver. Ahead of him, he could see a boat moored underneath the nearest arch of the old stone bridge leading to the town, and he headed towards it. Only 3 weeks ago, he had walked in and found his father hitting her again, and it immediately triggered something deep inside. Perhaps it was anger or guilt at not having intervened before. Blinded with rage, he grabbed a knife and rushed to his mother's aid. Frenzied, he stabbed his father several times. She screamed in anguish when she saw him slither to the floor. Falling to her knees, she cradled his father in her arms, stroked his hair, and tried to comfort him. Blood trickled from his mouth while he drifted in and out of consciousness. "Look what you've done," she wailed. Perhaps it was he, and not his father, who had finally pushed her over the edge. Had his love for his mother, his desire to protect her, been the catalyst that subsequently led her to killing herself? From beneath the shelter of the arch, he could hear the reverberating sound of a tractor and the bleating of sheep crammed in a trailer on their way to the slaughterhouse. The rain was easing now, and looking out, he could see a chink of blue beyond the distant hills and realized that the sun had been there all the time. Just like his mother, it had been hiding its face behind a net curtain of cloud. After the tragedy, rumors abounded. People in the town tried to come to terms with what had happened to both parents. He had tried to ignore them all, to isolate himself from their vicious tongues and sinister remarks. But one rumor struck a chord. Though it helped him understand what happened, it did not ease his pain. His father was recovering in hospital from the stab wounds when Calypso discovered this unsettling news. Though he wanted to, he did not rush to his father's bedside to apologize or comfort him. It had been his intention to stand by his father's side at his mother's grave and say a final goodbye. But he lacked the courage to face his father or run the gauntlet of local praying eyes. The rain stopped and calmness descended on the surface of the water. He untied the boat and stepped into it, placing the oars in the oarlocks. Backwatering, he pulled a long, fluid stroke. Water rippled as the bow of the boat glided gracefully from the confines of the bridge out into the open river. He listened to the timbers faintly groan and the oars gently squeak as he arched and heaved upon the seat. From here he could see the church nestled between the evergreens and the tips of the yew trees that skirted the graveyard wall. Miserable and shaking with cold, he stood up and cast one last look back towards the graveyard. He raised his fingers to his quivering lips and blew a kiss to his mother, resting in her coffin. At least she was not alone. She had the comfort of a bastard baby lying in her belly. Calypso glanced to the murky river, then back towards the graveyard. He blessed himself as he stepped overboard and plunged into the icy water. Keep on listening to TRP.